Let's get into the details now. This is sort of the standard look of an auto insurance policy. We have some variations that we'll go into in a moment, but this is how these policies are normally divided. And we'll look at a deck sheet here in just a moment. So everything that's listed is not necessarily part of the policy, but this is generally the way they're organized and where we find the different coverage. Let's take a look at who's covered under most of these policies. The person that bought the insurance, no, we backed up here. The person that bought the insurance, the named insured, is obviously covered. And this thing has got a mind of its own here. Family members are also insured under the policy. And family members is a term that is defined in the policy. It's not defined in any statute or insurance code section. So there's a little bit of variation from time to time in who a family member is. But generally, a family member is someone who is related by blood, marriage, or adoption and lives under the same household. There's cases in the paper that will talk about what factors the court considers. Sometimes when there's a minor child and the parents are divorced, that child may have more than one household and may be covered by both policies. So that's something to look into if we have a case that justifies more than one policy. The auto policy will have additional insureds as well, and these are people that are insureds by virtue of their what they're doing at the time or where they are. Anybody that borrows the car with permission is a insured under the liability coverage. And the permission is determined by whether the person reasonably believes they have the right to use the vehicle. You run into some cases where the owner's going, don't pay this policy because I didn't give him permission. And the other person says, he always let me use the car. The keys were out there. I had a reasonable belief. And that will be the determining factor in that kind of dispute. Let's talk about what the policy covers. And this is on liability. There's a question that has popped up over and over in recent years is whether punitive damages are covered under the auto policies. We have two competing cases. One of them is out of El Paso, the Mondragas case, and that said yes, they are covered. And they looked at what a person would reasonably expect in buying this policy, and they looked at the particular language, and they came to that conclusion. Farmers versus Zuniga is out of the San Antonio court. It is a more recent case. And it looked at the identical language. There's no policy variation between these two cases. And they said no. In fact, they looked at the Mondragas opinion, looked at how they analyzed it, and said we just simply disagree with it. They didn't reach public policy. We know the Fairfield case that came down in the last few years from the Texas Supreme Court that essentially said it doesn't violate public policy in Texas to insure for punitive damages, at least under certain circumstances. But the Zuniga case never reached the public policy argument. It was decided solely on the policy language. Let's talk briefly about commercial policies. This is really beyond the purview of this presentation, but I know we get these cases and they can get complicated. There's a couple of things to look at. The tractor and trailer may have different policies that apply, so it's always worth looking for that extra coverage if we have a damage model that will justify that. Also, certain activities are covered under certain policies. You'll run into two basic kinds of policies in these cases, either a trucking policy that'll have some very specific terms in it, or a general commercial liability policy, which is more of a catch-all policy. The general commercial policy, the liability policies, you need to look for the auto coverage portion of it because they generally exclude auto accidents in the main policy, so there's often an additional rider with those. There may also be contractual coverage. If they're hauling for a particular customer, they may be covered on that. We want to look at the policy. In a lot of cases, it's important to us. If we get a small case, we know our damages are well within the minimum limits. There's no dispute from the carrier that it's covered. This may not be important to us. But in some cases, it will be, especially if we're dealing with a commercial policy or if we're dealing with a large damage model. We want to see it. We're entitled to it. The rules are real clear about that. The In re Dana case talks a little bit about, well, maybe you can't get all of it. There's other cases that say you can't get the reservation of rights letters. You can't You can't get any kind of evaluation on how much they reserved on the case. Wouldn't that be nice to see? In re Dana was an eroding policy, and the plaintiff naturally wanted to know, well, how much of this eroding policy is left? And the court says, we're not going to tell you that. We're not going to make them tell you that. So these cases are out there. Then they're in the paper. Policy forms. Things really changed on us in 2003. Before 2003, the Texas Department of Insurance wrote the personal auto policy. It was promulgated in 1992. And everybody had the same policy. You, me, and the governor had the same policy. We had a copy of it in our desk. We didn't really need to take a look at it. We knew what was in there. And in 2003, Senate Bill 14 passed, and it basically said, homeowners and auto carriers, we trust you so much, we're going to let you go out there and write your own policies.